Mr. Wagner, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, I am Jeffrey Wagner, the attorney for the appellant Jeffrey Friel. We're here on a petition for further review regarding a decision by the Nebraska Board of Appeals. This case is simply about whether the Court of Appeals has jurisdiction in a grandparent visitation case to issue a temporary. At common law, grandparents have no rights to visitation with their grandchildren. And grandparent visitation came about by legislative action and statute that's in derogation of the common law. This court has recently emphasized in Hayden versus Norris that we have to strictly construe those statutes in deciding what the court can do, because the court can only do what the statutes allow it to do.
Did the Court of Appeals have jurisdiction at all?
That goes back to what this order was that was issued. Okay. So my original premise was that because the court had no jurisdiction to enter a temporary order, that this order must then be a final order because it in fact affected my client's rights, a substantial right, arising in the special proceeding. And so if it wasn't a temporary order, then it was a final order.
Is it a judgment?
It is an order arising out of a special proceeding affecting a substantial right, not a necessary step in the process to get us from the filing through the determination of the ultimate merits of the complaint for grandparent visitation. So because of that, it is an appealable order, whether it's a final order or a temporary order.
If we buy your big premise that there was no authority to issue a temporary order at all, doesn't that mean that the temporary order that was issued was a nullity to begin with?
It would mean that if you find that the court of a, or that the what was then a county court that made the decision did not have jurisdiction to enter that temporary order, and that the Court of Appeals made the wrong decision and should be reversed, yes, then that temporary order is now a nullity. There's no provision in the statute to allow the Court of Appeals to enter a temporary order. And the only provisions, if this court should somehow think that they should have that, how do you do that? Because there are required findings that have to be made before an order allowing grandparent visitation can be made. And the Court of Appeals agreed that there are required findings that have to be made before grandparent visitation would be allowed. If you make those findings and enter a temporary order, have you not then made your ultimate decision? Have you not found, based on that evidence, that the temporary order is then a final order? It is illogical to allow a temporary order in this proceeding. And it is a stretch that the Court of Appeals says that the court has some inherent authority or inherent power to issue this kind of order. But it does not in a statutory proceeding. It would be like in the protection order proceedings argued earlier. Do they have the inherent power there to decide visitation between two folks in a protection order? They have the power to decide custody, because that's in the statute. But they don't, on a temporary basis for 90 days, they don't have the power to decide visitation under that protection order statute. That has not been granted to them. Nor has any statutory provision been granted to the court here to make a temporary order to allow for grandparent visitation.
Can I take you back to the jurisdictional point for a moment? Could you address whether the appeal was timely, and if so, on what basis?
The appeal, motion to alter or amend, was filed within the statutory requisite time regarding that temporary order, tolling the time for it. And the appeal thereafter was timely filed after the denial of the motion to alter.
Does a motion to alter or amend toll the time for appeal if the order that's being, for which the motion to alter or amend is sought, is not itself a judgment?
I believe it does, and I guess I'm having a little trouble with the court's distinction of judgment. In juvenile proceedings, we can appeal from a detention order, because this court has found that detention order is a order arising out of a special proceeding affecting a substantial right. It is not a judgment, but nonetheless we can appeal that. Here my analysis is the same. This temporary order, if it were, this temporary order is a order arising out of a special proceeding And it does affect a substantial right. Even the Court of Appeals agrees with that analysis based on the federally protected constitutional interest of the parent in raising their child. So I don't think it has to be a judgment per se, such as the entry of a decree of dissolution. That would certainly be a judgment. But here, given the nature of this proceeding, I think it is an appealable order, given the nature of how it came about.
It's an, in your view, it's an appealable order, but the question, I think, is it the office of a motion to alter or amend appropriate motion, given the underlying nature of the order?
I believe it is. I think the motion to alter or amend would go to that final decision, that decision coming out of that special proceeding. If there are no other questions.
Thank you
very much. Ms. Melton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Justices. And this is an issue of grandparents' rights. The state legislature passed a statute and granted the ability for grandparents to ask for visitation rights.
The statute on grandparents' rights doesn't have any words anywhere in it about temporary orders, does it?
You're right, Your Honor. In 43-1802, it does not specifically grant the ability. It has no mention of a temporary order. However, it does mention, and in fact states, that grandparents can obtain visitation by presenting evidence by affidavit, which I don't believe any court would allow trial by affidavit in a case where you're doing any kind of visitation and doing best interests of the children. I would agree that I think that the statute was poorly written and didn't contemplate how these cases would actually be handled. However, district courts have handled these cases in a very similar manner to family law cases. There have been temporary orders issued. There have been appointments of guardian ad litem, and the courts have done that under the inherent discretion of the court to do so.
What would the purpose of a temporary order be in a grandparent's rights case?
Well, in a case such as my case, which I think the statute was passed for cases just like this, my client is the grandmother of three children. Their mother died suddenly from a cardiac arrest. There were three children left, ages 16, 12, and 9. These children were very close to their grandmother and to their aunt, the sister of their mother. And this was a case where they were devastated. And the mother and father had been separated for almost 6 years at the time of the mother's death. And they were very close to their grandparents. So in this particular case, temporary visitation, because the father, they were in the midst of a divorce when she died, decided that the grandmother could have no contact with the children whatsoever. We believe that this was actually detrimental to the children to actually cut off the contact. And we did ask for a guardian ad litem, or Dr. Cottom, to be appointed to actually kind of help through this. So I think this is a case where a temporary order was necessary for these children so that they could have some contact with their mothers.
Why not a permanent order?
Well, we asked for that. And in fact, when this case was appealed, we had already had a trial date scheduled. So on December 29th of 2017, the court ordered the trial on January 30th. This appeal was filed on January, I believe, 17th. The trial was scheduled for January 27th, 2018. This appeal was filed January 17th. So had we just waited 10 more days, we would have had a trial. At this point in time, we've now gone over a year and a half.
Do you think the Court of Appeals had jurisdiction at all?
I do not. That's what I argued. I filed a motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction and mootness. I would concede that I do believe this is a point of public interest at this point, and I do hope that the court will make a ruling on whether or not temporary orders can be issued in grandparent cases, because we tend to find this argument in almost every grandparent case that is filed in any of the district courts.
Doesn't it follow that if the Court of Appeals never acquired jurisdiction, the district court never lost jurisdiction?
That would be correct, and so I...
So you could have had a trial.
It's kind of a catch-22, because I would like to see this matter settled. But in this particular case, stating that this temporary order was a final order because it affected a substantial parental right, I think every temporary order could be appealed at that, at this point. And this court has actually stated in the interest of Denisha that temporary restrictions on a parent's visitation is temporary in nature and therefore does not necessarily affect a substantial right. In this particular case, Judge Martinez granted one day per month from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the grandparents to see their children.
Assume for the moment, as a matter of statutory interpretation, we determine that there is no authority for a temporary order in a grandparent visitation case. Make that assumption. What does that do to our jurisdictional analysis?
Well, I think if the court never had the ability to enter it, then I guess there was no jurisdiction. It would make the order void. The court should have never entered the order in the first place. I would argue that because the statute does not say there can't be temporary orders, and the statute actually references...
You're quarreling with my premise now. I'm interested in your reaction to the jurisdictional analysis, if my premise is correct.
Well, the court wouldn't have any jurisdiction because it wouldn't be a final order, because the order should have never been entered in the first place under your premise. If the district court, then you'd be saying the district court didn't have jurisdiction to even enter the temporary order in the first place. And I think what the Court of Appeals said was that the district court does, under its inherent powers, have the authority to do that and in the best interest of the children.
How does that square up with the Constitution?
Well, I think this grandparent rights was found. This case in Hammett versus Hammett, the court found that the grandparent rights statute was not unconstitutional. Therefore, I think that if you're authorized to have a grandparents rights case, and grandparents are authorized to get visitation under our current law, then I think it's logical to say that there could be cases where a temporary order would be necessary in the best interest of the children if the statute is followed, where you prove that there was a substantial relationship with the children by the grandparents, and it is in the children's best interest to continue that relationship. And I think that can be done in a temporary order.
How does your argument square with how we've interpreted the grandparent visitation statute previously?
I think previously that this court has upheld that grandparents do have visitation rights. We just have to follow the elements set forth in the statute to prove that.
And what can you point us to anything in the statute other than the reference to that visitation can be had on affidavit, that temporary orders are permitted?
It does not address it. It does not address it at all. So for family law attorneys that do grandparent rights cases, just depending on which side you happen to be representing, that's the argument you make, whether or not you want a temporary order or not. We're arguing about whether the court has the inherent powers. If you're representing the grandparent, you're arguing that there is no justification under this statute if you're representing the parent that's objecting, and because the statute does not specifically state it. So, of course, my argument today is that the district court has the inherent power to do that, and they're not limited by the statute. The statute does not say that they cannot do that. And I think previously, the Court of Appeals had found that the grandparent cases went under the Nebraska Child Jurisdiction Act. And that was in 1998. Well, in 2003, the legislature repealed that and passed the Uniform Child Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act. However, there has been no case law or no mention by this court or the Court of Appeals whether or not the grandparent statute then continues to fall under the UCJEA. UCJEA doesn't specifically reference grandparent rights cases. So we are in a bit of a conundrum here.
Have we ever articulated the inherent power doctrine to confer jurisdiction upon a court where otherwise its sole jurisdiction would depend on the existence of a statute?
Well, I think the court has jurisdiction over grandparents' rights cases, and I think there's nothing that would keep the district court under its inherent powers from being able to make orders such as ordering a guardian ad litem or ordering a temporary order in the case, as long as the statute and the elements of the statute are established. And I think what the Court of Appeals did is state that they have to be established by affidavit. And it sounds like the affidavits they would like to see the affidavits offered to the court. The court actually has to have findings to support the award of a temporary visitation. So I think here the statute does give the district court the jurisdiction over a grandparent case. and with the, under the inherent powers of the district court, we are able then to have a temporary.
Do you think that if the statute 42351 did not exist, that in a dissolution case, the court would have inherent power to grant temporary orders?
I do think when you're dealing with children and making the best interest of the children, I do think a district court would have the ability to have temporary orders under the inherent powers of the court.
You would agree that dissolution actions are not within the common law or equity jurisdiction conferred upon a district court by the Constitution, right?
That would be correct.
And that's equally true of this. It's not within those, either of those, any of the constitutional jurisdiction of the district court.
Well, I would agree with you on that premise. And in all honesty, what I actually think is that this statute was poorly construed and the legislature should actually probably take care of redefining it or amending it. But we don't, that's not before us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? 4 minutes and 12 seconds, Mr. Wagner.
Thank you. Counsel and I don't agree on much regarding this case, but I agree with her assessment regarding the statute. It does leave something desired for a bit of clarity. Clearly, the court has jurisdiction over grandparent visitation cases by nature of the statute. That's not my argument, that the court doesn't have jurisdiction over the grandparent visitation case. My argument is that it did not have jurisdiction or authority to issue a temporary order. Although I can't articulate the name of the case, one of the questions was, the court has looked at the inherent power of courts in a statutory case. For years, the juvenile court, a court of statutory jurisdiction, only allowed to do what the statutes allow it to do, did not have authority to vacate its own orders because that was not part of the statute.
That was remedied by statute,
though. It was remedied by the legislature, correct. Of course, I don't remember the cases that pointed that out. But unless
I wrote one of them, that's why okay. I remember.
But unless the legislature, in its divine wisdom, puts a provision in here allowing for some sort of temporary order, the district court doesn't have the authority to issue that order. There's no inherent authority to allow it to do it. There's no equitable authority to allow it to do it. It just doesn't exist. And where would you draw the line? What other authority then can the court exercise here? Can it terminate parental rights? Can it change custody? We have whether it can appoint guardian ad litem, whether it can appoint experts. All those things are not within the purview of the statute. And that statute has to be narrowly construed. And this court did just that again in June on what were grandparents in this case. You know, in these grandparent visitation cases, who met that definition of grandparent? Well, if it didn't meet the statutory definition, you weren't grandparents and you don't get to proceed under the statute. So if there's more questions, I'll let you early.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.